Hello, everybody. I'm Princess April, and with me is the one and only Pretty Please Kill Me Now. Say hello, Pretty.
Hi.
So we're here to talk about our collaboration, not just with Useless, which is going to be a big topic of conversation, I think, but we have done a lot of stuff together and people have seen it and heard it. And I think people might be interested in hearing us just talk about it. So that's what our plan is. And as sort of a sidebar to that, we'll do a little aftercare for Useless for those of you who have just maybe listened to it and then hopped over here to hear me and Pretty talk about it. I know, Pretty, you're not into aftercare traditionally. Is that right?
Correct. I have some kind of questionable feelings about aftercare, particularly for audio. To me, it's has a tendency to take away the fantasy feeling and make it too real for me. But I know that's not the normal feeling for all people. And I totally support everyone else's desire to have aftercare if that's something that works for them.
Right, right. I've certainly written some. When I do them, I write them. I don't just ramble because I can't be super supportive to and caring to people I don't know very well or at all, you know. So I have to kind of write it out and I frame it in a perspective of this is how I felt about it. This is why I wrote it. This is what I get out of it. And maybe in explaining that, you might get something out of it too. That's how I do aftercare.
I give horrible aftercare. Aftercare from me is mostly just like a nice pat on the head. It was okay. You did a good job.
Good little listener. Good.
Good listener. You did it. You made it.
Nice. Well, in this case, I figure we'll go straight into Useless. And I hope that people will come and listen to this because for you and me, Useless is the Useless series. There's three audios in the series, and all of them, I wrote the scripts for specifically for Pretty, and it is developed over a period of time, and it is concluded with Useless 3, which is about, as we talk now, is maybe a few days away from being released publicly. Is that right?
Yep, it should be up publicly next week Thursday, so it'll be like 6 days from right now.
Gotcha. And it is intense.
it is so much, and I love it so much.
So, as a performer, as the person for whom this series was written, how do you feel about this series? Like, how did you feel about after you finished reading it, and then after you finished performing it, specifically Useless 3?
I was so excited to get the script. You teased me with it.
I did. I'm
so excited to finally get it and finally see where she gets her closure, because I've been just in love with this character from the beginning. And reading it was so emotional the first time because you somewhat intentionally poked at some kinks that even for me as a human are a little bit sensitive and self-conscious and that are also sensitive areas for the character. So both as the character and as myself, there was some genuine insecurity and self-consciousness thinking about doing those things. And it's such... to me, it's a thrilling feeling to feel that way. So I was really happy to be going through it. But then getting to the ending and the closure of her relationship with her daddy was just so emotional. Like, because I always live in that character when I'm reading her, and getting to finally feel the real care was so comfortable and so emotional and just happy.
Were you afraid that that wasn't going to come? Like, what did you think when you first started reading it? Were you afraid of how she might end?
I wasn't sure how she was going to end. I didn't know if she was going to get a happy ending or if I was going to be left feeling for her. But really, to me, the ending is so happy for her. Like, yes, she's going to go on and keep possibly doing things that are destructive to her because that's what she likes to feel. But mm-hmm. it's okay. So it is such a happy ending because she's getting them in a safe and caring environment.
Mm-hmm. That was the intention mm-hmm. anyway, right? And right. and it was so hard because it was like, well, what happens to her? Like, you know, I'm writing something from scratch here. I'm saying this doesn't exist yet. And this has become a big thing for me and Pretty, and I want to do it right. And I was scared because I was scared of how you would react, you know? And like, it was fine. Like, I'm flexible. I can change stuff. And in fact, I even wrote an entirely like alternative script just in case you didn't like what I did for the original script. And I consulted with one of our mutual friends. At first, that friend was a little bit like, I don't know. I don't know if Pretty will go for it. And I was like, I think she will. I really just think she will. And like, if I don't know her, then that's okay. But I think I know. I think that I can convince her. I think I can, you know, tempt her to the dark side. And so I stuck with my convictions, and our mutual friend was like, yeah, I think you're right to stick with your convictions there. But I was scared when I told you what generally was going to be in the script before you saw it. And then when I posted the script to the place where, you know, a special place where I wanted to surprise you. And I was like, well, here it is, people. You know, this is it. I'm going to let Useless tell you what happens to her and we'll see what Pretty says.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I know you told me beforehand, you know, you tested some of the tags just to be sure I'd be okay with that. Yep. But I had no idea where she was going to go. But it felt good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it does too. So, what made you connect with it? Like, is it real life stuff that makes you connect with her? Is it fantasy stuff? Is it both? Is it a catharsis or is it pure id for you? Or, you know, how is it that you connect to this character?
It's a lot of all of that. So I remember when you gave me the first script for Useless
mm-hmm.
so long ago,
which is called I Want to Be Useful for My Daddy, which anybody can go and listen to. Yes. But yes,
and I remember reading that one because at the time I had been itching to do something with self-degradation because that's just something that I love.
Mm-hmm. Me too, turns out.
As a genuine real life kink, as well as an audio kink, I love it. So I got that script and it had so much of that with a plot and a real character that I could actually set into. So I loved that so much. But my relation comes decently from real life. I had a former partner who reminds me greatly of the daddy character in this, where he did truly care about me, but he also mm-hmm. was very keen to push to those limits, to those hardcore places where,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is so draining to go to that level of submission and that level of degradation and vulnerability. But that's a place that pulls me into that character because it reminds me of being with that person. And that was a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it also brings in a lot of fantasy, because I have always had a hard time in real life actually letting myself get to any extremes, which is okay because some of the things that she does are not necessarily safe or advisable to actual humans. But it's a really nice fantasy place to go in that respect, because in fantasy, you can think about giving yourself fully to that kind of lifestyle, where, you know, in real life, I want to be a real person who thinks for myself and mm-hmm. has aspirations for careers and education and all of that, which Useless has none of.
Mm-mm.
But in fantasy, it's fun to imagine being that person who can live the kink lifestyle of her dreams 24/7.
Yeah. I, like I said to you, and I think one of the things that I said to you privately will end up being my public comment on Useless 3. Part of it is because I want everybody to understand where I came from writing it and what I think of Useless herself, which is she is sort of the epitome of someone who pursues what she wants and doesn't care at all about what people think of her. And to me, that's an empowering thing. Like, it explores self-degradation. It's destructive to her. Like, it's dangerous, but at the same time, it's, to me, something to be admired and something to be loved and cared for. And that's why I love her so much, you know. I don't know if that's how you think of her, but that's how I think of her anyway.
I definitely agree with that. I've always been on a platform to say that you should be so unashamedly yourself that you can go for things like that, that you can have what makes you happy just because you can go for it. But that's so hard to do as a real person, and that's something that she does that is so amazing. I know I've said with you before that she's dumb. I think mm-hmm. she is. I think it's a very endearing kind of stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. But
oh yeah,
she's so much more complicated than that at the same time. You know, it's not that she doesn't understand that there are potential consequences to the things that she does. It's just that what she wants is so very important to her and to her fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that for her.
I do too. Like, what makes that real and what brings that out for me is those little moments that you do in your performances where she actually like palpably turns into a real person, like all of a sudden. Where she breaks out of her little trance that she's in, and like most of the audio, she's in these trances where she's reliving what has happened to her. But then she breaks out of them, like either to check in with her daddy or to say, "Hey, you know, maybe you want to check out my fictional sub because I've got a picture up there for you to watch to see, you know." And she's really actually being a real person, mm-hmm. and to me, that makes her so much more real and makes her plausible to the point where, yeah, you can really like almost imagine this being a real person if she had the bravery to do what she's doing and found the daddy that could help her do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so impossible in real life to find that, but maybe she did, and it feels like she's a real person, and maybe she did, you know.
Right. And I love the little like fourth wall breaks she has where in the middle of rambling about what's happened, she suddenly pauses to check in with the listeners just to say, "It's okay, guys, I'm okay." Mm-hmm. And she does mm-hmm. that multiple times through the series just to say, "Don't worry about me, guys, I'm okay." Like, understanding that she is, in fact, a real person with yeah. real feelings, and she understands that these might be things that worry you, but you don't mm-hmm. need to worry.
Right. Trust me. My greatest fear is also my biggest turn on, right?
Right. Exactly.
So does it turn you on to get into the head of Useless? I mean, does performing Useless make you come, or is it more of an acting immersion, like accomplishment experience for you?
That's an excellent question. It's a complicated thing. So it's definitely something I'm very into. It does turn me on. I mean, particularly after Useless 3, after sitting there being so deeply into her headspace, I record on the floor in my closet, mm-hmm. Sitting in here sobbing afterwards. I mean, I was emotionally into that and physically into that, and I felt emotionally drained, but also so intensely turned on by having been in that headspace, because living with her gives me a kind of stimulation that I can't have in real life.
I for me it's a different experience, like that. It's complicated because I'm a trans female, and I'm writing this character. Like I can't ever be anywhere near where she is in real life in terms of exploring kink like that, exploring a lifestyle like that. Mm-hmm. I'm so far away from that, both in age and in experience and in like upbringing and all that stuff. And yet I wrote her, you know, like I created her. She's in my head. She's not just in my head. She's me. But at the same time, she would not exist without you. Like the first one was written with what little I knew of you at the time, which is like, okay, this is Pretty as I know her, right? I mean, I'm not writing Pretty like Useless to be you. This is I'm saying, like, this is the kind of script that she will like, I think. And from there, it moved into something else, which is once you filled it and once you expressed to me how much you like it, I was like, okay, there's more here. And she's super easy to write, and I love her so much. So, and so does Pretty. So I'm gonna write more. And as I got to know you more, I know that the second one was influenced directly from a fantasy that you had posted in your server. Mm-hmm. Like that was, you posted something and I was like, okay, it's time to write Useless 2, you know? And, so she wouldn't exist without you. She wouldn't have been developed the way she was without you. And yet she's me too. And I can't explain that really. She's not me, but she is. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this character is, I think for both of us, so much an expression of things that potentially we would want to have, or to at least explore a little bit in life, that we can't for the whole multitude of reasons. The fact that it's not, you know, safe or reasonable to do. Being adults established in life with, you know, all of the things that block us from ever even considering doing what she does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's see. I have something like I talked about it already, but you are the facilitator, you know, like, and I feel a little bit kind of like I was just the one to introduce you to her. Like she was already there. And all I had to do was say, hey, useless, meet pretty. You know, that was my role in this whole thing. And that's how I feel, right? You know, but I don't know. So to put a capper on the useless discussion, right, unless you have something more, is this series and this character and this collaboration with you to create her is one of my proudest accomplishments. And it may sound stupid to some people because this is porn, right? But to me, this is art. To me, this is, I can't even, like, everything about her, the way she talks, the way she acts, the way she expresses herself, and what happens to her, all sort of comes together into this sort of beautiful, you know, mishmash of feeling and emotion and story. And then to add on top of it your like perfect performance of her, it's art to me. And so therefore, for me, it is one of my proudest accomplishments, not safe for work or safe for work. You know, that's just, it's just the way it is. So thank you, Pretty, for being a part of that and for giving her to me, because without her, without you, she would not exist.
And thank you so much for introducing us, as you put it. I most definitely agree that this is art. I mean, I feel that erotic auto in general is much more art than it's treated as. But in this case, especially, there's so much expression involved in it. And you put so much effort into writing these scripts with this character. And it is most definitely my most prized accomplishment so far.
Yay. I'm so glad. A mutual friend of ours put it to me like this. She said, there's degrading and then there's useless. And given who that person is, and I think you know who I'm talking about, that person means a lot to both of us. And it was one of the best compliments I could get about the series. Mm-hmm. So purely selfish question.
Yes.
Because I want to put you on the spot. From your perspective, how did we become friends?
How did we become friends? Well, let's give the story. So, I'm carrying on my merry way, making porn, as I do.
Yes.
And I needed a script, and I found one of your scripts, and I loved it. So I decided that I would ask you if it was okay for me to fill that for Patreon. And you so very kindly said yes, it was okay. And then you asked if you could write for me, and you wrote for me, and I loved them, and I decided that I love you. That's the story from my point of view.
Wow, that's it went that fast, huh?
Yep, that's the story from my point of view.
So the first script that Pretty filled for me was You Can't Leave Me, Daddy, You're Addicted to Me. Which when I wrote it, when I first posted it, I was like, hey, this is great. I really like this. Like this is one of those like brat scripts that treats a guy like shit. Like just complete, like she's got him in chastity. She makes him get her off. She does not let him get off. In fact, she has him beat up and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I love this. This is great. And I posted it, and it was early on in my GWA career. And one of the first comments was, man, this is too mean even for me. And I'm like, wait, mean? Oh, yeah, I guess it is mean, huh? Like, I'm thinking of it from the perspective of the girl. You know, like, the guy is just a toy to be played with. Like, it's the guy is not me. The girl is me. You know? And so I'm like, oh, I guess that is kind of mean, huh? So then I thought, okay, I guess maybe I wonder now, like, maybe no one's going to fill this, you know? Now, Jaxi Audio, way back in the day, Jaxi would fill audios so fast. Like, you'd post something and she would have it filled in an hour or something like that. And so she filled it real quick. But I thought, okay, well, I think I got lucky there, because I don't think anybody else is going to want to fill this script because it's so mean. It's such a brat, like, F-dom, like, just, you know, the guy doesn't even get off, you know? And then you came along and asked, and I was like, oh, one of my favorite performers wants to do one of my scripts. And the thing is, I'm like, I have a strict rule about I don't pursue performers to ask them to fill my scripts. I don't do that. What I do is let them find them on their own. And once they do, and once I'm like, oh, this performer gets me, then I might ask to let me write for them. Right. And so that's exactly what I did with Pretty, is I waited. She asked, she filled it. It was beautiful. And then I was like, I wonder if she'll let me write something for her. Like, that would be so cool. And then you said yes. And I ended up writing two things for you. So there, that was the beginning from my point of view. And then I started like simping like crazy. So it was like, my reactions, my like gushing, was I knew I was making you uncomfortable, but I was hoping that I was doing it in a way that wasn't creepy, right? It was enthusiasm, not creep.
So if you guys have seen the length of comments that April leaves on things people do, you need to understand that there's also like three times more of that coming in DMs.
It's true. It's really true.
The very first time, I was terrified. I'm very socially awkward. It's just a thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to take compliments. That's also a thing. And I was sitting there reading these messages, and they were all very nice things. None of it was creepy. None of it was off-putting. It was all wonderful. But I had no idea what to say back. None.
Right? And that's okay. Like, you know, I'm old enough to be like, okay, I'm going to tell my friends what I think of them, whether they like it or not. That's where I'm at this point. And I do that with my real life friends and with my GWA friends, and I don't care as long as I'm making sure that I'm not like making them uncomfortable. I mean, uncomfortable in a creepy way, not uncomfortable in a, this is too much. You're being too nice to me way. No. You have to sit there and take it. But that's what I do. I can't help it. And like I've said to you and to others so many times, you lending your voice to mine is why I'm here. Like, I have this voice. This is the voice I was born with, and it's not a feminine voice, really, and I really wish it was. And part of the magic of GWA is to be able to write something and have a performer come along and say, this speaks to me, I want to perform it. And then they perform it, and all of a sudden, my words, they've lent their voice to my words. And I can pretend I'm them for just a little while. And that is immeasurable in its meaning to me. Like, I can't even express it. It's not something I've had my entire life. And now that I have it, I mean, it would kill me to lose it, you know? And with you, Pretty, you've done like 8 scripts of mine now. Like, you've just recorded the 8th. Is that right?
That is right. That will be coming in a lovely, very exciting project later this month.
Yes. And I'm very excited about it. Like, that script is, it's pure id for me. It's pure, like, this is what's going to get me off, you know? And I knew you could do it. I didn't want to influence like who was going to do it, because it's a whole project. I don't want to talk too much about it, but there was possibility for a lot of people to do it. And all of them would have been great. We've been awesome, right? But Pretty ended up with it, and it felt fitting to me in a way because our partnership is so sort of solid. And now it's like it'll be even more public with this crazy project. And I'm just super excited about it. But there's, you know, 8 scripts, and most of them I wrote specifically for you, and with more to come, by the way. And so here's a question. Besides Useless, which one was your favorite?
Ooh, that is a good question. I'm thinking. So I think my favorite, aside from Useless, is one that's a very, very different character than that. That would be cosplaying the anime pigtailed murder girl. That character is a beautiful representation of one of my personas that I like to think of myself as. I know I'm not nearly as cute as I like to think I am sometimes. Don't call me cute, though, I will kill you. But I love the persona of the adorable little girl who's going to kill you, and it's going to be so fun, and she's going to giggle all the way. I love that.
Yeah, that was inspired by an audio you did, and I'm like, I could do that. I could do another one like that. And then I asked you, and I'm like, hey, do you mind if I like take your idea and do my own thing with it?
Right. I did mine because I had been camping out with that persona in my own personal time quite a bit in that period. So I did mine. I'm like, yes, I'm just going to let this out. And if people don't like it, that's too bad. They can die mad.
But, right.
Then you said you wanted to write something with that. And I'm like, yes. I need more of this.
And that was like you inspired. That was the first time I'd written a snuff script. First time. And, you know, only you could have like broken me out of that. Like snuff was a hard limit for me for a long time. Like I was never into it. And I'm like, no, wait, what if I did it this way? What if I did it in a specific way? And so that got me thinking. I'm like, okay, I have to do it this way. We'll see if Pretty wants to do it. But it turned me on. Like just the control she has over him. And part of what's fun about that one is that she foreshadows that she's going to kill him. But it is absolutely not in the way that you think it is.
No, you know? Not at all. I remember reading through that one the first time, and there's so much tease of other things. And then the way she finally kills him, I'm like, oh, I would not have thought of that, but that's so good. It's perfect.
It's like way more brutal. Like, in a way, it's sort of more personal almost. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love it. And your performance just brings it out. It's like she's... yeah, she's going to tease it again. Yeah, she's teasing him. She's outright telling him, like, beg me to murder you.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't think she's going to do it.
No. And that's the fun part of it.
Right.
That's so fun for me because even, you know, in like it browns there. I can't use words. It gets up on that line where you're wondering if we're going to go from where you would go in a role play, if we're going to go and we're going to make that real. Because, you know, you can real life role play a snuff scenario, but you know you're going to stop at the pretending and the threats and the making you ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like flirting in that script with, are we going to cross the line? Are we going to actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting. It's very exciting to me, you know, when it actually happens. And she's like, oh no, I'm fucking insane. I'm a psychotic bitch. And this is happening right now. And, Yeah, I love that one. And another one, like one of my favorite besides Useless, I think it's really tough, but I think it might be the sorority pledge at the frat party.
And that one was my idea too.
Right? So I'm just like, okay, so Pretty brought this idea to me and I'm like, hey, I can write that. I can do that. And it turned into this sort of 40 some odd minute epic audio that all had to be there because it's just such a slow burn. And by the end, it just,
story.
Yeah, it just gives you chills of what actually happens. Oh my Lord.
I remember I had that idea. I was wandering around at work when I had that idea and it occurred to me. I'm like, this is too much. This is obviously too much, too real. And I put it out there again on my server and you and a couple other people were like, no, that's great. Maybe we can work with that. I'm like, oh, I thought I was being a psychopath. Okay.
Okay, I've created a monster. That's fine. Yeah. I jumped on it because you gave me permission. You know, like it's your idea. I'm like, hey, Pretty's into this. Therefore, it's okay. And if even one person is on board with me on my crazy, like that empowers me. It makes it so much easier for me to push past these kinds of limits, you know. And I have to do it in a way that, like, there's a wrong way to do it and a right way to do it. And that this gets into me, like, writer person, but there are a lot of scripts out there there are some that do this kind of thing, but don't somehow lose the sexy in it. Somehow they lose the art in it, the presentation of it that makes it compelling. And it just turns into a, you know, kind of thing. And I am all about trying to make sure that we keep that sense of erotic horror about it so that we understand it's fantasy and yet and I give permission to you to be turned on by it.
Mm-hmm. We're not going for the shock value. We're not going for how dark can we be? How extreme right. can we make this? We're going for a piece of art that happens to pull in this dark part of our self-expression.
Yes. Yes. It's tough to do, right? And what's fascinating is it works. I get these messages, you know, and you do too, I know, from people who are just like horrified by what they just heard and yet turned on by what they just heard.
They're horrified by what they heard and they're horrified by the fact that they liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. People, I never thought I would like anything like this. And I'm like, well, that's what it's there for. I enjoyed it, so you get to enjoy it too.
Yeah, and what the best is when they blame you for it. When they come at you and saying, there was one I recently got where somebody asked me, "Boy, your dark stuff is like unparalleled on GWA. Like it's in a class of its own. Like." You know, a sorority or a college girl shouldn't be like helping, you know, a frat house gangbang the sorority pledge. That shouldn't be happening. And then he comes on to ask me, he's like, so do you consider yourself a misogynist or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was, at first I was very angry at the comment, but then I ended up sort of taking my time and I wrote out a reply that I thought was really good, which was like, number one, you obviously haven't seen my entire catalog of scripts because you're just picking and choosing the dark ones that you have chosen to listen to, right? So this sort of tells more about you than it does about me because I have plenty of very sweet, very emotional, very empathetic scripts of all kinds out there.
And I mean... even if I was going to pick apart your library and say anything bad about you, it would probably be that you hate all people. on the men and the women.
I'm an equal opportunity hater.
Exactly. But.
And I actually do consciously do that. Like I have F dom, F sub, and I really try to balance that out, you know?
Right. But we have the lovely ability to look past that and understand that this is art and this is expression of sometimes fantasies. And sometimes these aren't even things that are fantasies. They're just things that we write and we put into audio. Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the things that I've made, in fact, are not personal fantasies of mine at all.
Right.
But it's something that I make anyway because I think it makes good art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've done it too. Yeah. Like there are times when, you know, I've written scripts that don't like really turn me on or anything. Like not really, but I had to write them. Partly, like, there's a little bit of a I'll show you in me sometimes. And so when I get the sense that people don't think I can do something, that's the first, like, motivation I need to actually try and do it. And so I will write entire scripts based on this kind of feeling, you know, regardless of whether it actually, like, is a fantasy or turns me on or not. Like, I just want to prove that I can do it. But there's also just like there's an expression I want to get across, and I want to do it in a sexual way because I'm a very, very sexual person in terms of just everything goes back to that for me. Like there's so much there, you know, there's emotion and life and like linking that back to kink and sex is kind of where I live. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get that, you know.
I think the biggest thing I've had as far as messages from listeners who are misunderstanding where I'm coming from is it happened more earlier in my audio career when I was kind of escalating. I started off not making dark audios because mostly I was just afraid to. And I escalated from just some casual audios into more rape content, and then dove into what I'm now known for, doing more of the particularly dark things.
Mm-hmm.
But people would ask me things along the lines of if something bad had happened to me in my childhood, or if I had been raped, and one, I don't think that's a nice thing to ask a stranger in the first place. But aside from that, I don't understand people's such strong inclination to tie those experiences to these fantasies. Yes, sometimes, sure, there are real life connections that we can make to the things that we're producing, but truly, I don't feel traumatized by my life. This is just what I like. This is just what I'm choosing to make. And that is that.
Yeah, I'm the same way. People have asked me that too. And it's like, boy, what? Where does this come from? I'm like, I have no idea. It just turns me on, you know? Yeah. And I can point to some stuff, I suppose, you know? Early life stuff that may have influenced all this, but I can't point to any one thing. And even then, I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. That is the thing. I don't care. I could point to bad things that have happened to me in my life. And, like, yes, they happened, but they're not what govern me. The things that I draw from when I'm exploring my sexuality and the thing when I'm putting real fantasies into this are wonderful, positive experiences that I've had with partners. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm pulling from to make this.
Yeah.
And there's a misunderstanding about that with people.
Yeah, I find that too, because it's like that. you know, you can't leave me, daddy, you're addicted to me. This is too dark for me, is what they would say. And I was like, oh, but don't you see the empathy here?
Right. Like, I don't understand that.
Don't you understand? Like this girl or the girl from Tiny Demon or the girl from you know, Sorority Pledge at the frat party, she's fighting what's happening to her. She's brave in fighting what's happening to her. She may not win, but I love her because of who she is. You know, that this is a positive thing to me. This is a look at, I can't even explain it. It's uplifting to me. It's so weird. I understand, but at the same time, that's how I feel about every script I write. You know, there's beauty in it. There's something that makes me feel good, even in the darkest stuff.
To me, there's also a point where I dive into a lot of things. A lot of the things that particularly I have improved that have been particularly dark, I go to because there's a good feeling in it. I like to dive into those dark places, particularly the unrealistic ones, and then come back into real life and go, wow, suddenly real life feels really nice.
Mm-hmm. yeah. And yeah, even the dark ones, like that are real, it could be real, like drug addicted girl fucks her dealer for a hit. It was one of my mm-hmm. most darkest audios, right? And it could be real. It probably has been real, right? It definitely has been real. And right. At the same time, I'm like, it's not real for me. I didn't experience this. I don't know anybody who has, but something about this just had to come out of me. And there's something beautiful in her to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get to let her express herself. I don't know. That's the best way I can explain it is I get to spend some time with this person and let her express herself.
And I think
there's something cathartic about that.
Yes, that is exactly what I was going to say. I think there's a catharsis with performing characters like that to express those kinds of really deep emotions, whether you're going into fear or despair or suffering, wherever you're going, it's so relieving to just push out emotions like that, even if they're not your personal emotions for what you're experiencing in real life.
I think that's why I feel connected to you, is that you understand that, you get it. And not only do you get it, but the people you've managed to surround yourself with in the GWA community get it as well. And I mean, you have a unique air about you. And when you say something, whether it's on, you know, your Discord or my Discord or Snakey's Discord or Reddit or wherever, people listen. People like will come and see what Pretty said, you know, and they stop. And you attract authentic people to you who aren't afraid to express themselves and at the same time be kind to others. And you know, your orbit of friends has become my orbit of friends. And for that, I am unbelievably grateful. Like some of the people I've met because I've met you, I wouldn't trade for the world. So I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for this, for having not only the GWA outlet, which is one thing, but having found my tribe and people who really understand like my expression of sexuality, because man, for decades, I didn't have it. I didn't have it at all. All I could do was express myself by myself and put stuff out there in the way that I could, but I never found people who really understood, except for maybe the lurkers who consumed it but never contacted me, you know? Mm-hmm. So thank you is my point.
And thank you for being a part of it. I know I have been so very, very lucky to have a wonderful group of fans and supporters and also friends in this community. And I am so lucky to have had really very few issues overall. I have made a point many, many times of saying that I absolutely do not stand for kink shaming of any kind. And I partake in a lot of kinks that typically get a lot of heat. And I've been lucky to have really very few incidents. Honestly, I could count on one hand the number of times I've actually had a direct problem with anyone engaging in any kind of kink shaming. I have my whole server of a lot of people. I don't even know how many are there anymore.
A couple hundred, I think.
A lot of people there. And over the well over a year that I've had that community going, I haven't had, two issues there total ever. Mm-hmm. And I feel so lucky. It's such a happy, wholesome, expressive community. And I don't know how that happened. Everybody says it's my doing, and I don't know. I didn't do anything.
It is your doing, though. It's just you being you, you know?
It's one of those things that I will never understand. I will continue to say thank you and smile and nod. But sure. I'm just existing. And I don't know, but apparently it's working.
Right, right. I have one more question for you.
Okay.
If someone out there you didn't know or have any previous contact with wanted to write a script for you, what's the right way to approach you about it, if at all?
If anyone ever wishes to write anything for me, I love it. I love being written for. I've been very lucky to have multiple script writers at this point write things personally for me. But if anyone wants to, you can contact me on any platform that I'm on. So Reddit, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, anywhere you can find me, just shoot me a message. If I don't know you, if we've never interacted, you should probably introduce yourself first. But then just a, hey, hi, I like your work. I'd like to write something for you. It's great. I'll probably just say, yeah, cool. Go for it.
Cool. And so, yeah, as, from my perspective, probably best if you don't know her at all to sort of join her Discord server and start interacting there so that she can get to know you, you know, and the people around her and close to her can get to know you, because it works better when she's got some kind of reference, right?
Definitely.
And that's the same for me. Well, you can find Pretty on her Discord server and her Patreon, which she has, and is coming along pretty successfully at this point. And which you can find links to are on her profile page on Reddit. And same goes for me. I have a Patreon and a Discord as well. So if you're interested in interacting with us, we're both on both servers. So, you know, there it is. And thank you all for listening to us ramble on. I really think that some people will enjoy hearing us talk about our collaboration, because it is, to me, it's very, very special. And I hope that it continues. So thank you, Pretty, for doing this with me. And thank you for just being my voice sometimes. It is really inexpressibly meaningful to me. So thank you.
And thank you. Thank you for doing this with me and for all of the writing that you've given me and all the friendship and encouragement and everything. And thank everybody for listening to us.
We'll see you later.
Bye.